Blog Talk Radio.
Well, your dadgum government, you saw it so and so's. You got your damn hands in every pocket of my clothes. Well, your dadgum, dadgum, dadgum government. Oh, don't you know? Government, you better pay attention. You're setting up there like a fool's convention. Will you get down, get down, get down, government?
Well, welcome to Handling the Truth. This is Terry Dodd. I'm here tonight with my co-host, Mike Getty, also known as the Rebel Madman. And Mike, how about letting the listeners hear the pulchritude of your voice tonight?
Oh, well, you're messing with me, my friend.
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
No, never, never, never. I've only known you a week or so.
Uh-huh. Well, this is going to be an interesting show tonight. We've already started having a few technical difficulties, so it should promise to be over the target, let's say. And we've got some great guests on tonight. Casey Whalen's going to be joining us, and Kristen also, and possibly Wendy, maybe, we'll see, up in North Idaho. And I think we better start this out with a prayer, Mike, just to give us a little bit of protection. Father, we just come before you humbly, recognizing that you do have all control in your hand. You've warned us about these trying times that we're facing today, and we know that we need to continually turn to you for advice, for counsel, for anything that we need. We know that nothing is too big nor too small for you, because you created it all. So we lift you up. We lift up your son, Yahshua, our Savior, our King, and we pray for your spirit to fill us tonight. Be with our listeners, be with our guests, and just bring out the truth. That's what we try to do here on Handling the Truth, Father. And we, as always, offer you control of everything we say and do, and we want to please you with our words and our actions. And may that be the case tonight. Again, we pray in the name of Jesus, also Yahshua. Amen. Well, Mike,
Amen.
I'm looking forward to getting into this subject. And Kristen, are you have a live mic?
I think so. Can you hear me?
I know this is a surprise to you, but would you give Casey an introduction?
Well, Casey is Casey Whalen. He hosts the show North Idaho Exposed. He has hosted many events in North Idaho, liberty-based freedom-fighting events, bringing exposure to, you know, all sorts of things going on, not only just in North Idaho, but I think elsewhere as well. Sorry, I've got somebody walking in making noise, so I'm going to walk to the other room. Casey Whalen does North Idaho Exposed, and he's interviewed all kinds of really intelligent and interesting people. He's had all kinds of experiences. He's been, I think, as far as I know, for the last couple of years, really heavily involved in this fight for liberty up here. And I don't know him all that well, but he's also an area assistant for the People's Rights Network, and he's just a wealth of knowledge and experience, and I'm glad to have him as part of our People's Rights Network.
Well, from what I've seen, Casey is a person of great courage, and it certainly takes courage to pull off some of the civic action kind of things that are going to be necessary going forward. Casey, welcome to Handling the Truth.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the invite.
Give us a little background on yourself, and then we'll try to get into some of the other things.
Sure. So I started I had a YouTube channel about 3 years ago that got shut down for posting some Patriots videos on my YouTube channel. So I created a second YouTube channel called North Idaho Exposed, and the goal was to basically, I had tried to contact my sheriff and have a constitutional dialogue with him through email, and that did not go very well at all. So I just took it upon myself. I got tired of looking for a person, you know, we're the only ones who can save ourselves. So I just felt like I needed to try to educate law enforcement on the Constitution. So I got 3 boxes of 40 full-size Constitution with the Idaho State Constitution also. They gave me 3 boxes of those from the Secretary of State, and I started going around to the police stations and the sheriff's departments, handing them off, encouraging them to read them, and let them know that our rights are paramount. And essentially, I was eventually put on, it's sort of like a be on the lookout list, and it was disseminated to all the law enforcement agencies in the region, actually, like the FBI, just about every law enforcement outlet you can think of. So they were basically had a picture of me going into like the I think it was the Coeur d'Alene Police Department with a stack of constitutions, just saying that I was like an extremist or, you know, be on the lookout for this guy. And so that's just something I found out through a public record request. So anyways, this last year, I really started to, I was making a lot of videos, really digging into the city of Coeur d'Alene, different entities, and also in Spokane, Washington, and then found out about people's rights. And I went down to Boise, where they were holding these people's rights meetings back in April, took a commercial camera down there with a lapel mic and mic'd it and recorded it. And I was really impressed. The people, it was like a town hall format, and the people were, you know, they're very much part of the conversation. It's like I said, it's like a town hall, and it was just very exciting. And, you know, now this group is really growing. So anyways, but I just trying to fill in the gap. Because then the media is not going to go places where we need to go. So I guess just basically I was an activist, became like a citizen journalist. And when you marry those two together, it's like dynamite. When you definitely start exercising your First Amendment every way possible, law enforcement runs from me now in my town. If they see me with a camera, they will not talk to me. So it's quite empowering. They will flee from me. And so it's not quite... I want them to uphold the law, you know, and that's sort of the whole point of this was to try to educate. So, and that's what People's Rights does, they educate. So I'm not sure where you want to take the conversation from here, but we can talk about all kinds of things. So,
well, Casey, we're starting to see some articles out there demonizing people's rights. And I think it's really important that you might give us a little bit of what history you're aware of people's rights and kind of lay the groundwork. I mean, there's being accusations of potential violence and all of this sort of thing, which you commonly see coming out of, the elites, minions out there that control a lot of information and a lot of organizations. And anytime somebody starts questioning that narrative, and bringing out the facts and truth about the tyranny that's going on, they immediately start demonizing people. So I think you need, if you can, give us a little bit of background in that way regarding people's rights.
Sure. So I think you've talked about people's rights on your show before, but so, you know, we were started as a result of these mandates from the governor, and it just started taking off. The network was created where we could text people. I don't know if you want me to talk about the specifics of how, you know, each state is broken down into areas, and we can talk about the communications aspect of it more, but that's probably why we're getting so much flack now, is because we're able to very quickly contact people in a specific area and dispatch them to protect a business or a family from government overreach, and we've been extremely effective. So I think that's the main reason why we're receiving so much fire right now. So we have the STLC wrote an article on us, and then another group had an affiliation with the Montana Human Rights Group, and it's called the IREHR, which is the Institute for Research, Education, and Human Rights. So we have the attention, apparently, of the cultural Marxists, and it's very interesting. So this article that the IREHR wrote was a 13-chapter article, and they also had bios on everybody, on the major people that help run people's rights, I guess you could say. And we're not leaders, we're just area assistants. I help with the state of Washington, but this is a national movement. So there's probably many reasons why we're being targeted, but I would definitely say it's because we're being very effective. We're showing up at the Panhandle Health District. We're showing up at City Council. We're showing up wherever we have to fight this this insane global communist takeover.
Well, obviously they're trying to attach people's rights to Ammon Bundy and talk about Ammon's army, as they try to say it, because again they're trying to put put terms on it that make it look like something it's not. And maybe you can elaborate about that. I mean, it sounds like this is not a top-down run organization, but rather a grassroots group, which means it's run really from the ground up. And I think if you can elaborate on that, would it be helpful?
Sure, sure. So basically every state is broken up into areas, and each area has a specific number of counties in it. So then as this movement grows, we will break up the areas into smaller and smaller areas, where eventually, hopefully, it'll be down to a city where we can contact our neighbor up the street, and we can kind of already do that, but we'll be able to be more precise about how we're doing this. Right now we have, you know, five counties in an area. It's hard for some people to get from one county to another, so we encourage people to sign up for people's rights. Just text the word rights, R-I-G-H-T-S, to 80123. And we just get your name, your phone number, your general location. And then if you have an issue with government overreach, you contact an area assistant, and then they will send out a text message letting people know in that area that there's a problem. And also we have a website, peoplesrights.org. People can sign up there. There's resources there to help people understand their rights. That's the main goal of our group is education, really, as well, of course, fighting the virus. Nonsense, and whatever else we need to do. But this is a wonderful opportunity for people. Like you said, it's not top down. It's wholly grassroots. And like a friend of mine today, she was very impressed at our turnout in Twin Falls, Idaho. People's Rights just sent out a text message. We had about 150 people show up. My friend thought, and she was very impressed with how it was peaceful. We made our point. The Twin Falls City Council did not vote in favor of a mask mandate, so it was basically a success there. So we're very, very, very effective. And my friend, you know, she was asking, hey, we need to maybe do this or that. I said, contact your area assistant and let them know and set something up. So I mean, that's an example of how we, you know, anybody can, you know. Let us know what's going on wherever, and we'll show up if we have to. So it's all about the people. And I'm not sure where else you want me to go with that, but.
Well, again, a little bit more illustration of how it operates as a grassroots group. I mean, how does a new chapter in a county of a different state get started, and who runs it?
Yeah, so that's all done by the people. So if there's a basically Washington and Idaho, I think are more populated states. We have about 37,000 people that have signed up so far through the network. And so, yeah, I mean, look, if you're interested, wherever you are, it doesn't matter wherever you are in the nation, just either go to peoplesrights.org or sign up again by texting the word rights to 80123. And then in some places, you know, there isn't a lot of people yet, but we were just looking for people to start, step into an area assistant role where you can then, you know, people will contact you and let you know, hey, I need help. And you can start recruiting people to People's Rights also. And like we have, it kind of depends on what different areas do things differently. They focus on different skills, ham radio. And actually there's at some point we're trying to have it so that if the phone system goes down, we'll have a ham network already set up. And so we're trying to educate people in that realm. It's all dependent on what the people want in a specific area as far as education is concerned. But anybody can, you know, run with it. There's no leadership role.
Well,
really in this.
What I might add, too, is that there are different groups of people that may not even be necessarily associating themselves with People's Rights. But if there's an event going on, maybe there's a lecture going on, or you know, maybe there's a class going on, a constitutional class going on, or like right now I'm doing a ham radio, a amateur technician class up in Bonner's Ferry, but it's not necessarily associated with People's Rights. However, because it is something that would interest people within People's Rights, we go ahead and send out a text to our area and say, hey, this class is going on up here. If anybody wants to go, feel free, you know. So it's just about connecting neighbors. I mean, you don't have to be a member of People's Rights necessarily, but when you get into that texting network, then you get that feed. So you get those text messages letting you know, hey, there's this protest going on, or you know, there's this city council meeting going on. You know, go, you know, sign up to speak and tell the city council what you think. Or, you know, I've been going to the school board meetings up here and speaking in front of the school board meeting. And I'm not there necessarily representing People's Rights. However, we are communicating through the texting system to let other people know that this school board meeting is going on and that there will be other people there speaking. So it's just really about connecting people and letting people know what's going on.
I guess it's okay to burn down buildings and to you know, take stuff out of businesses and shut businesses down, but it's not okay for you to have a sense of community and to be able to communicate with others in the community to build that sense of community and protection. You know, it just seems like they're anybody who's doing something in this way to peacefully be able to resist the craziness that's going on, you get demonized. So I think it's really important for, you know, to do just what we're doing right now, and that's letting people know that there is a method that you can build a sense of community and to get support from your neighbors in your town and protect each other, because that's really what it's going to take in order to resist the kind of things that are coming down. Mike, would you like to jump in this conversation for a minute?
Well, the one thing I was thinking about, guys, and wanted to mention it to Casey as well, and he's probably aware of this, but several years back, one lady as head of Homeland Security named Janet Napolitano, she made a list of potential domestic terrorist, and on that list were Christians, veterans, people who were constitutionalists, anti-abortion people, So they have already said that we are the enemy. So we should not be surprised when they act that way. And I was just looking as Casey was speaking. There was something I wanted to mention because I made a note of this. April the 1st, 2013, Terry, in good old Colorado, there was a state police officer with the last name of, let me see, how was that? Oh, yeah, K-L-U-C-Z-Y-N-S-K-I, who was conducting, as an instructor, conducting a class for law enforcement, and he made this statement. He said, the police should be wary of people who take the Bible literally or too seriously and believe our country was founded on Christian principles, and that those who are not willing to go along with the changes our country is about to make, they would need to be controlled by law enforcement. So that was in 2013, guys. That's 7 years ago. They've been preparing for this for a long time. And I can understand, Casey, why you had problems with law enforcement, because they've been hearing this. They have been preached for since 9/11, when Mossad took over the training of police officers in the United States. They have been taught to treat the American people as the Israelis treat Palestinians. And that's why the police don't want anything to do with this. They have been indoctrinated. If they have been to the FBI Academy, if they have been to any kind of training facilities, they have heard this crap and this garbage for the better part of at least 12 or plus years now. So we are not to expect a different behavior from them. I would be surprised if they didn't act this way.
So just to give you guys a fair warning, because I'm calling in on my phone tonight instead of on Skype, it does have a tendency to drop a call occasionally. So if I drop off, just keep things moving until I call back in. Okay, gentlemen and lady?
I think we can handle that.
Casey? Casey, thanks for giving us that bit of history. I'd kind of like for you to move into this civic action situation. We know you've got a lot of experience, and our listeners, for the most part, probably have never really participated in a challenging civic action at all in their life. Maybe they've been to a protest, or maybe they've been to a meeting or a school board or something like that, but they really haven't provided the kind of resistance that makes law enforcement and the elite government control nervous. And I think it's important for them to understand what is accomplished by providing that kind of resistance and the sort of things that you can do and can't do. And give us a little background on some of the events that you've participated in.
Sure. I mean, from an activist standpoint, you know, if you want to make any change, I mean, you got to first arm yourself with a little bit of knowledge. So, I mean, I started out just using, like, the Idaho State Constitution and the Washington State Constitution, learning the Declaration of Rights and those, because those are additionally numerated rights, and I have had success citing some of those enumerated rights in the state constitutions to law enforcement. For instance, last year I was at a drag queen story hour in Spokane, Washington, where my friend Pastor Afshin Yakdin was arrested, and he made national news just for trying to go into the library. But there was a drag queen story hour at the library. There was a counter-protest on the library grounds, and then there was a protest across the street. We had Christian conservatives protesting the drag queen story hour. Long story short, the police were kicking people off the sidewalk, basically asking them what side they were on, and then they were kicking them across the street to the protesters' side. So when I showed up, I had two cameras, I had a press badge on, the cops asked, you know, what side am I on? And I'm here to cover the event. I'm not on a side, per se. And so they kicked me across the street. I cited Washington State Constitution Article 1, Section, I think it's 5, the right freedom of speech. Had about a 20-minute argument with the cop about that, and they let me go back across the street to record the event. When I went back across the street to the library grounds, Bill Jasper, who's senior editor of the New American Magazine, showed up with a friend of ours who has a website. They were both immediately identified by the people that were running the Drag Queen Story Hour counter protest. The cops came over and they kicked them across the street, if you can believe it. So an actual credentialed reporter from the New American was kicked across the street, and I was allowed to stay. So that's just one example of just knowing, you know, I don't have the Constitution memorized. I just learn a couple, rights. And then when I go out and I do activism type things, I'm prepared. And also I, definitely recommend if you want to do, anything where you're dealing with a public official or a police officer, always bring a camera with, pull out your camera, record it, just do it. That's exercising your rights. Just whatever you can do.
Casey, if an officer tells you, or an elected official tells you that they don't want to be photographed or they don't want to be recorded, what do you tell them?
Well, it's a constitutionally protected activity. There's no expectation of privacy in public. I think it's Fordyce versus Seattle that allows, you could just learn a couple court cases on photography. Like I said, Fordyce, I think it is, versus Seattle is a good one. And then just, look at the Idaho State Constitution real quick. Just learn Article 1, Section 9 in there, freedom of speech. It says you have the right to, I usually have it memorized, but I'm spacing it right now. Freedom of speech, every person may freely speak, write, and publish on all subjects, being responsible for the abuse of that liberty. So that's a right, this is the law. So I put that in place, this is the law, you don't want to violate the law, right? And you can be polite about it. It's really not that difficult. It does take courage. It does take a little bit of experience. When I first went to the Coeur d'Alene Police Department to make my first video on my channel, I was freaked out. But I just did it, and it turned out okay. So, and a lot of times, doing activism is extremely rewarding. You're helping fix society, essentially, and it's extremely empowering. The contacts, the people I've met, it's just been unbelievable, and wouldn't trade it for the world. I definitely encourage more people to do it. And every day you wake up, ask yourself, what's one thing I could do to help promote liberty? If we all do that, it's gonna have a drastic change. I'm just one person, and I'm doing a lot. It's been extremely effective. So, I don't know, but I would also recommend people, if you're a little hesitant about, maybe going out and having a conversation with people, work with what you're comfortable with or what you're good at. We all have different skill sets. We can grow. We can learn different things. Public records requests. We need more people to do public records requests. It's extremely simple, and it's very effective. And so if you're comfortable sitting at home, maybe just do a public record request every now and then. Learn how to do it. It's really simple, and the community appreciates it when you find something.
Can you give an example of a public records request that you've made, or something recently that somebody could maybe, or maybe something that somebody could go out tomorrow and do?
Sure.
Either here in North Idaho or in their own community.
Yeah, and like a lot of times you have to learn. Every place is different. A lot of these cities and counties are now doing them online. You can actually just sign on, do a quick public record request. A lot of my public records requests are like one sentence, literally, because you don't want to make it complicated. You want to keep it short and sweet so that the turnaround time is faster that way, and then you can dig into other things. So as far as an example, I just got the summary of the City of Coeur d'Alene, their CARES Act funding. They spent almost $1.4 million. I don't have, I asked for a detailed list, and they just sent me a summary of each category. And but I happened to send that off to our friends at in the mainstream media, KHQ, and I got a reply back today. My contact said he thought it was interesting. They spent, I don't know how much, it was a lot of money on radios. And he said, how do radios help fight COVID-19? So, you know, once you start, I actually use the media against them. I because there's some things they have to cover. For instance, somebody gave me a public record request from the Kootenai County Sheriff's Department. And what it was the Sheriff's Department back in May had brought in hairstylists. And this was during the lockdown, you know, no barbers could be operating at the time. So I called the police or the sheriff's department, and I actually was able to get a conversation recorded, and it's a video. But I asked them, don't you think this is a double standard? And they said, no. Well, then I gave that public record request a week later to KHQ, and they did a story on it. They called the sheriff's department. The sheriff's department would not call them back. So, I mean, they're just things like that. That's an example, anyway.
That's awesome.
But a lot of public records requests that I do, they're very simple. One of the main ones that I do a lot is I will use like the city's email domain at cdaid.org, and I'll just throw in a couple keywords that I'm looking for, and then I'll get all the emails from the domain for that keyword. That's a very powerful one that I've used many times. Or do a public record request on yourself. That's very interesting. You'll find out a lot about what people are saying behind your back. So those are a couple of examples anyway.
Well, I know you've got some other events you want to, we're talking about to Mike and I before, and to share with people and kind of give them a little bit of a broader perspective of, and again, I think it's important to mention what your goals were with certain things or other events that you participated in, what the primary goals of those were and what kind of things were accomplished as a result of it.
I guess it depends on what, I mean, generally, it just depends on what I'm trying to accomplish. I don't know. I guess I've just had so many experiences. It's hard to define just by generalizing it, I guess. But, I mean, the main goal is just to educate.
So don't generalize. Be specific. Pick one and be specific.
Oh, gosh. Let's see. I don't know. I guess, we went to the Panhandle Health District. And, gosh, I don't know, there's just been so many examples. I mean, one time I chalked out in front of the Panhandle Health District. I got trespassed from three places in one day for chalking in front of our buildings with washable chalk. And then the county was voting on mandatory masks. And I got basically trespassed, they said, from all the public buildings for chalking in front of one of the doors because I didn't want them to vote on the masks, and I was just trying to exercise my rights. So they basically tried to trespass me from the courthouse, actually. That's where this was, and which is fine by me. I don't want to go to the courthouse anyway. So, but what was funny about that is they're not applying the law evenly because the kids were out in the parking lot chalking later, so it's just... I don't know, it's just hard. There's just been so many things. It's just hard to you know, kind of boil it down, I guess.
I thought maybe I dropped for a second. Mike, have you got some questions for Casey?
Well, I was just wondering... And most of the encounters that you have with public officials, what is their initial response?
You know, initially when this, so the whole cop watching phenomenon has really taken off in the last handful of years. And so I think people are now becoming wise to, you know, being recorded. You'll still get a couple people now and then that kind of freak out. I don't want you to record me. And then you just educate them, you know, if you don't want to be recorded, stay home, or, you know, I don't know, But there's no expectation of privacy in public. And it's different from person to person, but generally they do tend to freak out a little bit because, you know, they're just curious when you're filming people in a public area. You know, they generally think something's going on, you know, that you're up to no good. But you just have fun with it. You just, after a while, kind of learn.
Well, I think you mentioned one thing that I think people should really do, and that is become acquainted with your state constitution and to be fully conversant in it. And most people are unaware that the Bill of Rights in the U.S. Constitution was put on basically 2 years after the original Constitution was written, and they were amendments to the Constitution. Yet in the state constitutions, the rights of the people are listed first, with the restrictions on government second, and the people in every state should acquaint themselves with their rights, which are listed first in their constitution, and point that out to public officials when they start talking about various things. Say, look, in our state constitution, the people's rights are first. Your stuff comes second, but the people's rights are dominant and predominant in the course of events. And the second thing is, when it comes to freedom of speech, there are two things that you can do which could be considered criminal, and that's libel and slander, and that are prosecutable. But beyond that, they can't tell you that you do not have the right to speak. You have the right to speak, and that's listed in every state constitution. People need to become acquainted with their state constitutions. Most people think it's all about the U.S. Constitution. It's about your state constitutions. Learn those and use those. They are very effective.
Yeah, you learn a lot of, just by learning the Idaho and Washington Constitution, I was really surprised, you know, the things I didn't even, you know, recognize that were identified rights. One thing, for instance, which is really interesting in our Idaho State Constitution, Article 1, Section 18, which Ammon Bundy had kind of recently brought out, was that, I'm facing an issue right now as an activist. I took down two A-frame signs at a beach that were preventing people from, if you're from out of state, you have to self-quarantine for 14 days or you could be charged with a misdemeanor. Well, in the Idaho state law, it specifically states that for them to do that, there has to be an infectious agent or a hazardous material at the site. So anyways, long story short, I took these signs down. I took them back to the sheriff's department the next day, and I set them up outside of their entry exit way for them to self-quarantine for 14 days. Well, then the prosecutor charged me. Basically, it's I don't have the name of it. It's a really weird title. It's basically like manipulating public records or something like that. And I didn't damage these signs. I just was just trying to prove a point. You guys need to stop acting unlawfully. And I actually did an interview with a guy at a trailhead nearby where he and his family were kicked out. And so it just really made me mad. But this right in the Idaho State Constitution says that, you know, Article 1, Section 18, justice to be freely and speedily administered. Courts of justice shall be open to every person and a speedy remedy afforded for every injury of person, property, or character, and right and justice shall be administered without sale, denial, delay, or prejudice. Well, the reason I bring that up is because I went to the courthouse on July 14th for my court date. They wanted me, of course, to wear a mask because the Idaho Supreme Court and their wisdom about, you know, we got to keep people safe. So they passed a rule for us to wear a mask, and I wasn't going to do it. So I showed up. It's a video. It's documented. They took my name and my phone number. And then 2 months later, I was arrested on a bench warrant, of course, for failing to appear. And they arrested me right before, like, I was on my way to an open carry event I created downtown Coeur d'Alene. So they timed it. And they, I guess, from what I understand, they don't generally come and arrest you for a misdemeanor. They do for felonies here, but not for misdemeanors. So anyways, but now I'm facing a catch-22 again because I have to go back to court at the end of this month. I have to wear a mask in there. If I decide to go to court, I can do it through Zoom, but I think I'm going to probably just show up, and if they deny me, then they're violating my rights again. So anyways, this is kind of a tough one, but I'm not sure what I'm going to do. But I guess it's like 6 months in jail, but I think they're just going to slap me with a fine probably. So, and I don't have a lawyer. I'm representing myself pro se. So it just seems like the right thing to do. We, you know, got to fight this thing every which way we can, you know.
Well, I give you all the credit in the world for that. But I think there's one thing that people need to be aware of was that the Supreme Court in 1994, I believe, gave government employees what they call implied immunity. And what that means is that the a government official does not have to go by the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
They are not required to if they're acting in their official capacity. And those have been employed even to the point of death, where cops have actually killed people, and then they did even kill the wrong person, but then they are exonerated because of implied immunity. They were performing their job in good faith. And if people want to really rail against something, and that is something you never hear in these hearings, you never hear a Supreme Court justice ask about, well, what would your ruling be on implied immunity? Prosecutors have immunity. If they put people in prison using the wrong law or anything else, they cannot be legally held for doing that. And now the Supreme Court has given implied immunity to all, basically all government employees. So anyone operating under the color or the fabric of a government job can be exonerated for anything they do. And people, that needs to be changed. It needs to be changed quickly. That should be something that the people should be railing against, but most people aren't even aware of it.
Yeah, it's so frustrating. You can't, it just seems like you can't hold anybody accountable. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt somebody there.
No.
I'm just trying different things right now personally. Peggy Hall, who some of you may have heard of from the new, I think it's called the HealthyAmerican.com. She's been really fighting back, presenting different ideas. So I've been trying to basically file with the U.S. Department of Justice so that when we're denied access to a public building, I've been citing the Idaho Civil Rights. We have an Idaho civil rights law that protects us. It says,
I can't hear. Yeah, I can't hear Casey anymore.
Yeah, I can't either.
I was just about to ask a question about bullhorns that was brought up in chat. Casey, if you can hear us, we cannot hear you. He's still online. Still got a hotline on and a mic, so I'm not sure what happened there. Well, Kristen, you want to talk about the town council meeting and what's happening with their non-masking order? I think Casey just dropped.
So a town council meeting or the school board meeting?
No, well, you can talk about that too if you want to, but which would you prefer to talk about?
Well, I mean, as far as the mask ordinances, I know Casey talked about Twin Falls. There was also Twin Falls is down in southern Idaho, and Post Falls is just outside of Coeur d'Alene. And so I think it was on the same day, actually. They both had city council meetings to meet and vote on whether or not to have a mask mandate for the city. And both of those council meetings had a presence from People's Rights and others speaking out against the mandate, and both were voted down. So that those were both two successes in one day, I believe. And standpoint where I live, they've voted on it twice and it's been voted down twice. There were two people, I think it was 4-2 or 3-2 or something like that. The mayor here has said many times that if it got to him, he would vote for it. So we're just barely getting by here in Sandpoint. And it's similar, you know, in these other cities as well. Coeur d'Alene, obviously, they just voted for the mask mandate. It was originally through the Panhandle Health District, and they decided to go back and do education instead and just do their recommendations instead of have an actual edict through the Panhandle Health District. So that's why it presented as a vote to Coeur d'Alene and these other cities. And Hayden as well is another suburb of Coeur d'Alene. They also voted down the mask mandate. So we're kind of squeaking by up here in North Idaho as far as that goes, except for Coeur d'Alene, of course, because that's the major city in this area. And we all know how cities tend to be. The Lake Pend'Oreille School District up here in Sandpoint, I've been going to their school district meetings for the last couple of weeks. They have one every other Tuesday. And so I went this week and then I went two weeks before that. And we've been packing the room. And when I say we, I don't necessarily mean people's rights. There are some people from people's rights that have been showing up. But there have been people we have a homeschool academy here that have been getting up and speaking. The parents, the kids are getting up and speaking. This week, 2 weeks ago, it was all women that got up and spoke. And this week, there were 5 men that got up and spoke from the heart, and it was beautiful. I'm just so touched, even though, you know, we haven't necessarily gotten an exact win out of this yet. I just feel really blessed to know that my community has so many people willing to stand up and fight for this. So I really feel like I'm in good company up here. One thing that did happen this week is they did vote. So we have these different levels. They color code, you know, if we're in the green or yellow or orange or red, I don't know if all the other states are doing it the same way, but for kids to be in school and what kind of restrictions they're going to have is based on what color code they're at. And so we opened under a yellow, meaning for the middle school and high school kids, that means that they have to wear a mask all day. When I talked to the the assistant principal at the middle school, she told me that they have, I think she called it mask-free, like timeouts where they're allowed to remove their mask for like a minute. it's just a joke. And then, I mean, even she acknowledged mask fatigue, you know, I don't know. Anyway, one thing they did this week was they said that basically they were not going to pump it up to an orange or red. They said that the orange and red levels were basically going to be the same as the yellow, even if Panhandle Health District or the state or the county or what have you decides that we're now in the red or we're now in the orange, they're going to keep it the same. So I don't really call that a win. I'm glad that they don't want to make it any worse than it already is, but I'm not okay with that. Where it's at right now. So we're trying to get them to remove it. There is a school district in Rastrum, which is another suburb of Coeur d'Alene, and they're the Lakeland School District, and they have never instituted a mask policy at their schools. And so this week, one thing that I learned is that their biggest concern, the school board trustees, their biggest concern here is that if their staff gets sick, they don't have anybody to step in and fill their shoes if they're out sick. And so it was presented this week, not by me, but by another one of the moms who said, well, Lakeland School District's doing it. Have you talked to them to see how they're managing? And they actually said that they would look into that. So we'll be, I'll be interested to see what comes of that. I'll be back there again in 2 weeks to see. So anyway, sorry to ramble on about that for so long.
That's okay. Way to be vocal local, Kristen. Casey is back with us. Casey, can you hear us now?
I hear you fine, yeah.
So you dropped off in the middle of a topic, and I'm sorry. I hope you can remember where you were.
Oh, sure. I was just talking about Peggy Hall and how she had a method of trying to go after public officials, and I was just saying, you know, I'm just trying anything I can think of right now, and I know it kind of seems pointless, sometimes fighting this thing, but I have a lot of hope with people's rights. It's just been great. I mean, the people alone that you meet, it's been a good experience learning your neighbor, or meeting your neighbor. But yeah, I was just talking about how, you know, I don't know, there's just got to be some way we can hold these people accountable. It just doesn't seem like there is a real surefire way of doing it. So I think we just need to brainstorm and network, and hey, as long as we're united, they can't stop us. They can try.
Casey, what did you think about Mike's suggestion about railing against this implied immunity?
Sure, that sounds great. Hey, whatever's preventing us from being effective. I mean, I just don't know what else to do, you know, short of just calling.
Mike, do you have any suggestions about perhaps the way some people could go about raising this issue of implied immunity being a violation of our rights?
Well, what implied immunity is, and I gave the wrong date on that, it was in the 1980s that the U.S. Supreme Court came up with this crazy idea. But it gives what it says to public officials is you can violate the people's rights at will, and you will not be financially responsible for it, or you will not be legally responsible for it. And in many ways, this is just exactly what Patrick Henry said in 1788 when he said, yes, we've got this Constitution, we've got all of this other stuff, but we have absolutely zero ways to enforce it, and they purposely left that out of the Constitution. You cannot, there's no way to enforce your rights. The government has the power and the authority, and the people have their rights, but they have no way to enforce them. And so when your rights are violated, you can say, okay, well, we have a legal recourse. Now we have no legal recourse. This was the creep that Patrick Henry said, you know, 230-some years ago, this was the creep that was coming, that eventually it would continue little by little, not all in one fell swoop, but it continued little by little till we have a complete tyranny, and we're there. And they are exercising it. The cops have been told. I've seen their training manuals. They are basically told that the people have no rights. And they also know that they have implied immunity. So if they violate someone's rights, when you can actually go into a man's home and shoot him 60-some times and you actually shoot the wrong man, and you can't be charged because, and the prosecutor said they could, the cops who went in could not be charged for shooting this man. It wasn't the one they were looking for, but they could not be charged with shooting him in his own home after busting in the front door in the daylight. That they could not be held responsible for their actions because they were in the performance of their duties. And, you know, and that happened in Tucson, Arizona, about, 8-9 years ago. The people have gradually sit back and let this happen, and they have believed that the only recourse they have in the world is to run out and vote. And it has come in gradual steps to the point, people, we're at the point right now where the government can tell you anything they want to. You have no recourse. We're standing up for our rights, and we should. I'm not saying don't do that. We are. But legally, you have no recourse. Because, number one, you can't sue the government unless they accept the lawsuit. How did we allow that to happen?
Well, let's get a little bit specific. Let's look first at the First Amendment. Since 1995, there has been formal petitions filed with the federal government on many, if not most, of the constitutional violations. In other words, things that the government have done that are not only outside the delineated powers, but really even beyond what is necessary and proper in a loose interpretation of that clause. Yet there has been not a single petition that has been responded to, so no redress has been provided. And therein lies your basic constitutional problem, that the First Amendment allows people to petition, but there is no redress of grievance required. Go ahead.
Well, the courts have actually ruled that they don't have to answer because there's no provision in the First Amendment that says they have to. They have said that the people have a right to petition for a redress of grievances, but there's nothing in that in the First Amendment that says the government is required to respond.
So now we have complete justification for civic action on a peaceful basis that will raise enough stink that the government has no choice but to pay some attention, because they do not pay attention to petition.
Well, here's what they're
Casey,
going
to
do.
Casey, you want to comment? Go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say is, here's what you have to understand. I've been doing this for 30 years. I've been in so many movements that I thought was really going to get somewhere, and then I saw them shut down. And I saw the movement shut down. Basically, this is going to really make a lot of people angry, and I really don't give a damn. But the majority of the movements that I have been involved in my lifetime, and I've been involved from the POW-MIA movement to the border with the Minutemen in 2005, Tea Parties, I've been involved in these movements. And the people who shut these movements down on every occasion are Republicans. It's not the left-wing Marxist that shuts it down. It's the good Republicans that move in to shut these movements down. And now with this movement in Idaho and what we're seeing there, and this is fantastic. I love these people. I love people who are standing up for their rights. I think it's the most beautiful thing that we could have, and I'm envious of these people for doing that. And I do it as much as I can every day. But what we have to understand is what we're fighting against. And we're fighting against a monolithic government that is not going to give up. And if they think that the people in Idaho are beginning to put a crack into their veneer of power and control, they will infiltrate that group. They will put people into that group. They will even put people that the people will love to cling to, because, hey, this is so-and-so. We need to cling to this person because they have a name. So we're going to cling to this person, and we're going to, and what you are doing is you're playing into their hands. You need to keep it a bottom-up movement, not a top-down movement. You need to keep that going, and you need to watch every person who ever shows up to your group that hasn't been there before. Because I'll promise you, if you have a patriotic group sitting with 100 people in it, 10 of them are feds, either from the BATF, Homeland Security, FBI, or one of those alphabet agencies. They're going to be there because they cannot allow a crack to appear. Because if the people in Idaho succeed, then you'll see people all over the country going, hey, it worked for them, let's do this. So the government is going to concentrate where they see a threat. Right now they see a threat in Idaho, and I promise you there are infiltrators working within that movement right now.
Which is why we have to hold each other accountable. Neighbor to neighbor, friend to friend, family member to family member. And, you know, this guy who's co-hosting the show this morning raised me to, you don't just take sides because you're taking their side. You know, you hold everybody accountable. And even though this might be your best friend and they're getting ready to step off track here and do something they shouldn't be doing, you have to check them. And you have to make it clear to your friends that you want them to check you too. You know, we have to keep each other accountable.
I saw a movement in Tucson, Arizona back in the late 80s, early 90s. And I saw an infiltration when the militias around the country, those of you who are a little longer in the tooth will remember when militias were the up and coming thing. People were forming militias everywhere. And so what happens immediately is the people start jumping in. BATF starts showing up. FBI starts showing up. They've got people showing up in groups, and they're very charismatic. These people come in, they're charismatic. Oh, yeah, and before you know it, they're leaders. And what they're doing is they're leading you to prison. And I saw it happen with a group of militia in Tucson called the Vipers. And those people, several of those people ended up in the federal penitentiary. And they will send in the infiltrators. And I'm going to tell you this. I wrote an article 10 years ago called Comfortable Patriotism, where I pointed out about some of these groups that are basically fake groups that are leading people down the wrong path. And the man that I wrote this for, his website, he refused to publish it. He said that I was a clarion call for civil disobedience and that he couldn't publish my article. And then 2 days later, I've got two SUVs in my front yard, and their FBI agents are there, and they're asking me why I am anti-government, and they have a copy of my article. That article hadn't been published. It was on the Internet, sending it from one place into another in an email. And so then they are there. So I saw right away, when you get that kind of action out of the feds, you hit a nerve. So their plan is to make you think these wonderful groups with these wonderful names are your pathway to liberty, and what they are Trojan horses. So people, please be very, very careful. Kristen, you said exactly the right thing. Do not allow anyone into your midst. When they come in new, tell them straight up front, I don't trust you, and until you earn our trust, you're not leading us anywhere, I promise you. And there was an old saying, one guy told me years ago, he said, anytime a group of patriots show up, 10% of them are going to be infiltrators. And just really be careful. Examine the records of these people and see where they've been and see what they're doing. And, again, you can use that, as you mentioned earlier, Casey, use that FOIA, Freedom of Information Act. Use that and research these people. And if suddenly you've got somebody that's a ghost, don't trust them, I promise you.
Yeah, I think that's been a concern, and we're of course aware of it. And when we were massively censored, we were all basically, people's rights was kicked off of Facebook about a month ago. People's pages were purged, and because we were actually pretty effective using Facebook, so it forced us to do our own thing, which we now have a newsroom at peoplesrights.org, and we can publish our own articles, and we're going to grow that more. I think there's talk of maybe a place for us to host our own videos at some point, like a social media aspect. So in the grand scheme of things, I think this is a good thing. I'm not saying the virus is a good thing, but I think it's forced us to have to do what we've always had to do. There are those concerns that there are people and maybe in people's rights that are not who they say they are. But, you know, ultimately, I don't think we have any choice left. What else? There's just nothing else. This is a perfect tool, anyways, in my opinion, that people can use.
Well, I believe, and I've always believed this, freedom and liberty are alive as long as one person believes they are. And that is something, and it can be infectious because, you know, if we look at our history, and history is where I look to for everything, because You know, Patrick Henry said, I know of no way of judging the future but by the past. And so we look at things that have happened in the past, and a scrawny young lawyer showing up in, at the Virginia House of Burgesses in 1765 and standing up and complaining about what the king was doing, even though his fellow House of Burgesses members were yelling treason at him because he was accusing the king of being a tyrant. And that scrawny lawyer's name was Patrick Henry, and Patrick Henry lit a flame in a country that totally ended up overthrowing the most powerful military on the planet at the time, and that was England. And so there is that example. And there's another thing. People have said, well, you know, why do you look to the past to understand the future? And I said, where else would you look? Because people are the same. People keep doing the same things over and over again. Times change. People don't. But I know that Patrick Henry, standing as he did that day and having the courage to stand there while these people in their wigs and their fancy clothes were yelling traitor and treason at him, he didn't stop. And you guys aren't stopping either, but I think we have to know, we understand your enemy, because if you don't know your enemy, you're defeated to start with. Just the view from my saddle.
Sure. Yeah, and actually this article was written by the IREHR, called, it was entitled Ammon's Army, as you mentioned earlier. Where was I going with this? That's right. So we found out that after that article came out, there were multiple attempts to, I don't know, not hack our website, but there were, I guess they found out that people had tried to log into each area, essentially, to try to find, I don't know, information. So, yeah, we're definitely aware of it. We're fighting it. It sounds like constantly. I don't know the back end of things, what's always going on. So, but it sounds like that is a definite thing to work, to think about and be aware of for sure.
Yeah, that article, that showed that our opposition knew more about our network than many of our members do. It was really impressive, actually. And it reminded me, too, Casey, we kind of talked about before, about up here in Bonner County, the county tax assessor, she has been leading up this group called Sandpoint Indivisible, and they're a Marxist organization, and you know they're leftists trying to do whatever they can to stop the liberty, the fight for liberty. We had a People's Rights up here had a big larger event. I think I may have mentioned this before a couple weeks ago too, that we had some protesters outside, and it was the Sandpoint Indivisible, and it was the, you know, this county tax assessor and the mayor was there too. The mayor of Sandpoint was there protesting us as well. I mean, and all we were doing was just having an educational speaker. You know, she was a controversial state rep who was doing the speaking, but it wasn't necessarily a political meeting. It was just an educational on the 101 ways on how you can make cause effect change in your community. But anyway, this county tax assessor, we looked into her Facebook page a while back, and she was recruiting people to join People's Rights and find out any kind of dirt or anything they could find out on us. So, I mean, what you're saying, Mike, I mean, we see it. We're seeing it here locally. Just with these seemingly small time locals are doing it, you know, and now we've been targeted by the Southern Poverty Law Center too. So it's there. We know it's there.
Well, the thing that everyone needs to be aware of is that every keystroke on every computer, every text message, every phone call, and everything else is recorded by that agency at Fort Meade called the National Security Agency, and it's all compiled and kept in Utah near Salt Lake City, and everything is kept. They can access it. Not everything is listened to. Not everything is monitored, but everything is kept, and they can call it up at any time they want to. Anybody's telephone, anybody's conversation, anybody's text. You think that you're encrypted on your phones, you're not. They can access anything that they want to. Just be aware of how you communicate. That is critical.
We have a question in chat that I think should be brought out. Casey, I'm going to ask this question in two parts. One, what is your position on defunding the police? And have you heard any discussion through people's rights about defunding the police?
Well, we really do try to stay non-political as much as possible. Personally, I think it's just for me personally, it's a system problem. We have a problem with our systems. There's good people working in a bad system, and I think we need to try to, you know, fix the system. But ultimately how we do that, I don't know. But I don't know. Defunding the police, that's a tough one, because then you're opening the doors for other things like federalization, SJW policing, that kind of thing. So I'm not quite sure where I stand on all that right now.
Can I comment on something? I know we've kind of talked a little bit amongst our neighbors up here that, and I've heard others kind of share and mimic this same thought process, is that, you know, the county sheriff's department is held accountable because the sheriff is an elected position. And so, you know, we have the ability as the people to either keep him in that position or not. And so there's accountability there to the people. Whereas you look at the state police and the city police, and there's not that same accountability. They're not elected, they're appointed. So if you were to ask me about defunding the police, I would say keep the county sheriff's department and get rid of the rest.
Yeah, well, we have statutes, codes, et cetera, that are color of law. They're not law, and they infringe on our rights. So I can agree with you on that one for the most part. Yeah, we do. I think we do need less policing. I think we have way too much, and people are being thrown in jail for victimless crimes where the state is the victim. It's like, you know, we're living in the Twilight Zone.
Well, the more remote someone is, the more important it is for them to be ready to defend themselves, because it's going to take a long time before the police would ever be able to show up to help them anyway.
We have a problem too, Casey.
Statutory law is a major problem, because they have created a way to control people outside of common law. You know, and under common law, which has basically been the courts have been occupied by other forms of law. It's not that there's not courts where common law can be brought in, but you seldom see it, because it takes a lot of courage, and you won't be able to do it with an attorney. Attorneys have been trained away from common law. Under common law, someone has to be injured in order for there to have been a crime. Under statutory law, that's just not the case. They look for ways of basically taxing people through violations of statute. And there's if you look at scripture, the way that crimes are resolved is through restitution. Well, if there's not a victim, if there's not someone who's been injured, there's no restitution. And the way the governments have used statutes is for them to collect the money, not to provide restitution to an injured party. Let that one sink in for a while. So we've basically been enslaved to some extent through statute. Mike, would you agree with that?
Yes, Terry, that is correct. But here's the thing that we have to understand is that the government has a sneaky way of changing words on people. Now the Supreme Court has decided that anything that they have decided on, what do they call that, stare decisis? Anything that has been previously decided is now, Terry, referred to as common law. So people who aren't studying and aren't keeping up with this, they think when they say common law and the Supreme Court says, oh, yeah, we have common law. It's listed in all of our stare decisis. It's listed in all of our decisions. So the Supreme Court just quickly changed the name of it. So when especially when people started saying they wanted their common law rights, they started saying, well, okay, then your common law rights are already listed in our previous decisions. So, yes, you are correct, but they changed the rules. They changed the game. They're in charge of the game, and they're not going to let the other side win.
Well, as Red Beckman would have said, attorneys have been brain soiled. They've been taught that common law is case law, and I don't deny the fact that case law in some cases has been based upon common law, but to state that common law is case law is an improper statement. They are not synonymous because there are many cases that have not been based on common law that are based on statutory law, and that's the reason I brought out the issue of statute, because it is a means of government control outside of individuals in the population being injured.
Yeah, but Terry, we can tell them about definitions all day long. They have the keys to the jail.
Yep.
One thing I learned I thought was kind of troubling was that they passed, I don't know when it was, but the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure 6E3, they took away the right of the people to hand down presentments for indictments, and they left that up to the prosecutor. So that would be huge to get that back, where the people can hand down presentments for indictments.
Casey, are you familiar with 16th American Jurisprudence 12, second edition, I believe it is, that any law written that is unconstitutional at the date it was written? It does not have to be adjudicated so?
Marbury versus Madison, too, yeah.
Well, Marbury v. Madison was an unconstitutional ruling by an unconstitutional judge. But that, you know, John Marshall promised in the Virginia Ratification Convention that if they would ratify the Constitution, the federal courts would never overrule a state court. So much for that federalist lie.
People had a lot of work cut out for them, that's for sure.
We've got about 8 to 9 minutes left, so I kind of like to get some final comments from each one of you. Kristen, what final comments would you have? Maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes worth.
Oh, Steve, I don't know. I thought you had another part to that question.
No pressure.
Didn't you say you had a two-part question?
I think I did give both parts.
Okay. I guess my final comments would be, I just like to reiterate to everybody that we don't have to ask permission to live as a free people. We just need to start doing it. And every you know, like Casey mentioned earlier, everybody has different skill sets and different personalities and different things they bring to the table. You know, protesting might not be for everybody. I get that. You know, some people are more structured. Some people are more, you know, anyway, there's lots of different ways you can exercise your freedoms and stand up against tyranny. I mean, it could be as simple as just, you know, go to your local grocery store and go in without a mask. If they want you to wear a mask, try, you know, see how far you can push it. You know, just stop complying. And, you know, some people find that the answer for them is to avoid any kind of conflict and avoid those places. And I say, don't avoid. I say, go and let it be known. I mean, I understand that business owners have a right to run their business how they see fit, and I respect that right. You know, I don't ever want to infringe on that right. However, I don't want to make it easy for these business owners to be an extension of these tyrannical edicts that are going on. So I want to make it hard for them. I want to be a thorn in their side. I want to be a pain in their butt so that they knock it off, so that it's not worth it to them. And that's what everybody needs to be doing. We don't need the government to hold our hand. We don't need the government to you know, protect us in every, you know, aspect of our lives, you know, and make it so that this is just the fairest of worlds. And, you know, life's not fair, and we have to face these matters ourselves. And, you know, it's sort of like that the free market principle and philosophy is that we all just have to deal with things ourselves. We can't depend on the government to do it for us. We need to stop asking permission. We just need to do it.
Great advice. Casey, you got about 3 minutes.
Okay, yeah. That's,
Mike, I'm
going to
let me give Mike a warning. I'm going to have you close it out, Mike. Go ahead, Casey.
Okay, yeah. No, I would just encourage people, please join People's Rights. Go visit the website, see if it's something of interest to you. There's really, like we've discussed, it's grassroots. And we just need to come together as one. I think this is going to hopefully be the way to do it. We have people all over the world, or I spoke to somebody at least in the UK, and they looked at people's rights, and they thought it was just a great idea. So maybe this is could be a global thing at some point, which would be really exciting because our rights are universal. Not everybody has a constitution maybe, but, you know, the idea of liberty is inherent in man, so we just need to champion that and just come together as one people. So, you know, if you haven't already done so, maybe text the word rights to 80123. You'll get a confirmation, and you can, you know, help your neighbor, help the community, and promote liberty. So please look into it. And, you know, we have to do this now for our the future generations. We have to do this for our children, our grandchildren. I got into this because I didn't want to go to my deathbed saying I didn't try. And, you know, we're the only ones who are going to be able to fix this problem. It's not going to be some person or some individual. It's you. So, you know, ask yourself every day what you can do to promote liberty. And it is effective. It seems hopeless sometimes, but I have a lot of hope now after doing the activism thing for a while and beating my head against the wall. It feels like this is a way to get out of some of the situations that we find ourselves in. So please check out People's Rights today.
Well, certainly the government's not going to solve our problems for us. Mike, you're on.
Well, folks, throughout the annals of history, throughout recorded history, no comfortable people have ever revolted. People revolt from oppression. They do not revolt from an honest, well-run government. And I believe that, and, you know, I hate to say this to a lot of people, but we're about to get damn uncomfortable. And I think we have just seen the beginnings of this tyrannical one world government, and it is about to show us its full force, and I hope that people are prepared for it.
Yeah, that's been something we've been talking about every week, is people being prepared for what's coming, and I certainly have been trying to voice that to people to recognize that it goes far beyond an election. It goes far even beyond this pandemic that we're facing. People need to start asking the question, what's really causing the symptoms that are taking people out? And why are the hospitals now, even though the medical profession knows full well that ventilators are killing people, why are they continuing to put people who come in with any kind of respiratory distress on ventilators, which is not helping them, but in fact, in some cases, is killing them? We're being lied to. You need to recognize the fact that we, everything that we're told on the television, particularly, for the most part, is some form of a lie. There's some truth in some of the things that are being said, but that truth is there just to camouflage the lie that they're giving us. This whole pandemic was planned out all the way back in the early 80s. It was the plan was culminated 10 years ago, and what we're facing today is absolute an attempt to control, to take more of our rights away, and to give control to the government and take it away from the people. And right now, the people are being compliant. The people are surrendering their rights because of they are believing lies. And as Red Beckman put forth in a couple of his books, Why the Militia was one of them, I think Walls in Our Minds was another, he posed the question, who is more dangerous, the tyrants or the people who believe their lies? Well, the answer becomes obvious when you really think about it. So we've got to stop believing the lies. And if we don't believe the lies anymore, then what do? We have to take a stand, and the proper way to take that stand is as peacefully as possible. And you can see that the government is not required to provide redress of our grievances. And it's going to take friction, peacefully voicing yourself loudly, particularly in your local communities, and we need to reach out and build relationships with others in our community, and that's exactly what People's Rights is about, and that's what scares those that are in power, in control, because if the people communicate and build relationships in their community and take a stand, that creates a real problem for the liars and the tyrants. Anybody else want to make a quick comment? You got maybe 30 seconds if anybody's got a thought you want to throw out. I really appreciate you, Casey, and Kristen for joining Mike and I tonight. Mike, as usual, your wisdom is awesome, sir. 30 seconds if anybody wants to jump in.
The one thing I would say, guys, is keep that spirit. Casey, man, I'm just proud to live in the same country with you. You too, Kristen. Keep that spirit of freedom, because without it, we're nothing. Fear is the passion of the slaves.
Thank you for the invite to come on the show. I really appreciate being able to share People's Rights with people who may not have heard of it before. But hopefully the whole nation will hear soon. And they are through these slanderous articles that they're putting out. So all press is good press, I guess.
Amen. Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Great having you guys with us. Good night, everyone. We'll be back next Thursday night with Handling the Truth.
Your life, you're only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night, take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. Waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird fly, blackbird fly, into the light of a dark black night. Blackbird singing in the dead of night, take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you roam. waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird fly, blackbird fly, into the light of the dark black night. Blackbird singing in the dead of night, won't you take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to be free. You were only waiting for this moment to be free. You were only waiting for this moment to be free.